to our radio friends. We're happy that we have the privilege of proclaiming the gospel of God's grace, the good news, how that God is ready and able and willing to save guilty sinners who need to be saved. I trust you'll be able to listen to the entire program, that the messages and song will be a blessing to you, and then that you will listen to a brief message from God's precious word that will cause you to think of your need of being saved. The musical portion of the program is by the choir of the Gospel Center. Testament found in Psalm 16, verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. In Christ I may have a love that can never be fathomed, a life that can never die, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a peace that cannot be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, a happiness that can never be interrupted, a strength that can never be enfeebled, a purity that can never be defiled, a beauty that can never be marred, a wisdom that can never be baffled, and resources that can never be exhausted. Suddenly, as though the sun came out, the way lay clear and plain before my feet. And often through hard years, I learned how sweet when burdened with the weight of pain and grief to look to him, and oh, the blessed relief to feel him slip his hand beneath the load to lighten it, our burden-bearing God. Some wondrous day my eyes shall look on him beside whose glory myriad suns are dim, and his reflected radiance shall by grace lighten forever even my poor face.
Thank you.
After the next musical selection, you will hear a question and answer program. Mr. Cecil Sims from the Bahama Islands will be answering some Bible questions, so keep tuned to this program. The Gospel Center Choir is singing "Oh, Listen to the Wondrous Story." Cecil Sims on the program, and my first question tonight is salvation a necessity for all men, or only the irreligious and morally depraved?
The Word of God teaches the ruin of the entire race through the fall of Adam. In Romans 5 we read, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Again in this same chapter, "By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Death is universal. All die. Sinless infants, moral people, religious people, equally with the depraved. For a universal effect, there must be a universal cause. That cause is a state of universal sin. Thus, there is a universal need for salvation. The Lord Jesus declared that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:17. Here we have revealed the need of the world, salvation. The helpless, hopeless state of man, apart from divine intervention, and the purpose of Christ coming into the world. The religious teacher Nicodemus was faithfully and clearly told by the Son of God that apart from being born again, he could not see nor enter the kingdom of God. Simon the Pharisee, who murmured when our Lord Jesus received and forgave a penitent prostitute, was told in parabolic form that, like this poor, depraved woman, he was a debtor in God's sight, hopelessly insolvent, and shut up to divine grace for salvation. In Acts 10, we have a Gentile centurion who was God-fearing, benevolent, and prayerful, yet destitute of salvation. To him, Peter was sent with a message of salvation, resulting in blessing to the entire household who, on hearing, believed and were sealed by the Spirit.
Brother Sims, there are quite a number of folks in Durham who are asking this question. Can one be saved by good works, religious ordinances, or is salvation exclusively by personal faith and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ?
The scriptures are unmistakably clear on this. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Israel, the only people who are divinely given ordinances and sacrifices, which pointed to Christ and the blessings he should bring, were saved on the ground of faith in him who should come. Having rejected him when he came, these ordinances and sacrifices became a hollow sham. In Romans 10, we have the Apostle Paul expressing the desire of his burdened heart for his kinsmen. In those memorable words, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Thus we see salvation is not by works nor religious ordinances. The Lord Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Again, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." John 10:9. Yet again the Apostle Peter declared, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:12. The poet sweetly puts it in these lines, "I would not work my soul to save, that work my Lord has done, but I would work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. Till to Jesus' work you cling by a simple trusting faith, doing is a deadly thing, doing ends in death. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete."
I think I'll have to make these questions just a little harder. Here's one you may not be able to answer. At least you'll have some difficulty. How can you explain this? There are those who profess to be saved and apparently are joyful at the time they profess. They go on for a time, and then they go back to their own sinful life and their evil companions. Explain that to me, will you please?
Our Lord Jesus, in the parable of the sower, Luke 8, gives us the solution. There he tells of four classes which hear the gospel with four distinctly different results. The wayside hearer is that class which hear and are apparently never awakened, the devil taking away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The stony ground hearer is a type which are apparently saved, but soon fall away. There is only surface work here, as a hard heart has never been broken up by the deep plowings of the word and conviction. Hence the seed that gets in does not get down, and having no root, these soon wither and die. Here we have the empty professor, whose emotions only are reached, and in spite of his profession, is unsaved and unregenerate. The third class is the thorny ground hearer, that class where the seed gets in and down, and the plant lives on, but is weak and unfruitful because of the thorns which choke it. Here we have a class that are saved, but fail to glorify God by bearing fruit, because cares, riches, and pleasures are allowed to predominate in their lives. The fourth is a good ground here. Here we see the ground well plowed, the stones smashed, the thorns cleared out, and the result? Much fruit for God's praise and glory. Which of these types describe you? You may get into this final one if only you will allow the Word of God, ministered by the Spirit of God, to have its way in your life. Give up your empty, powerless profession, if you have one, and turn afresh to the one who died for you, who waits with open arms to receive you. If the thorns are cluttering your life, he can clear them out and make you fruitful under the glorifying of his name and the blessing of others.
Brother Sims, in Philippians 2, we are bidden to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Does not this contradict Ephesians 2:8-9, which you quoted, saying, salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast?
There are no contradictions in the Word of God. For like its author, it is perfect in every detail. You will observe that in Philippians 2:12, we are not told to work for salvation, but to work it out. One must first possess salvation before he can work it out. In the following verse, it says, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When we accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit moves in and takes up his abode in our bodies to empower us for living and service. He begins and continues a work within us, Philippians 1:6, throughout the tenure of life. He seeks to conform us to the likeness of Christ. As he works within, we are enjoined to work out with fear and trembling, lest we hinder his purposes, lest we retard his work. He produces within us the will and the ability to do God's pleasure. And as we yield to him and let him have his way, he makes us what he would have us be. We should ever pray the prayer of the returning prodigal of Luke 15, Father, make me. How sweetly that dear old hymn puts it. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold all my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
I think we have time for just one more question, and it's a very important one. When a believer sins, does he lose his salvation?
If there is one thing the Scriptures clearly and undeniably teach, it is that we are saved with an everlasting salvation. See Isaiah 45:17-22. The one who accepts Christ is immediately born into the family of God. John 1:12-13, and as nothing but death can take us out of the human family into which we are placed by natural birth, so nothing can take us out of God's family. We lose the joy of salvation by sin, as it snaps the link of fellowship, which can only be restored by confession and cleansing. See 1 John 1. The advocacy of Christ prevails for sinning saints, 1 John 2, and there is a disciplinary chastening of God as Father, even unto physical death at times, 1 Corinthians 11, Hebrews 12. God's chastening is always remedial, however, and never condemnatory. Restoration is always the objective in view. A saint may be unfit for earth, yet fit for heaven through the work of Christ. He may be taken from earth and not allowed to remain and dishonor his Lord. But, having placed his faith in Christ, God takes hold of that one, keeps that one, and will land that one safe in the glory.
Thank you, Mr. Sims. We've enjoyed having you on this program, and I trust that our radio listeners have enjoyed the question and answer program.
There is someone who can meet your need. Jesus can. Jesus can. One who understands your heart in deep. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can forgive your sin, cleanse your soul, and put new life try.